Let's go! Another episode of Forging the Path. My name's Adam, and these guys, we got Matt and Jerry's both coming back to the show, but you weren't in the studio yet.
Nope, first time.
You were at my house, just on Apple and Spotify, and then Jerry is a couple months ago, you were in the studio.
I was.
So welcome back, you guys. I'm glad you guys are here.
Matt, okay. are you nervous?
No. That's I talk to strangers for a living, so not that Adam's a stranger, but...
Yeah, man, I'm not a...
I'm your friend,
but
man.
I can talk to anybody.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, let's do that first, because we'll throw it in the show notes, too, but like both you guys are business owners. So, Matt, you first. Tell us about your business.
For those of you that might have seen our snippets, I own an independent insurance agency in lovely Wales, Goosehead Insurance, Matthew Austin Agency. You can find me on Google. My contact information is there. Independent lines, so, you know, home, auto, I do some life insurance, I do Medicare as well.
Toys?
All the toys, boats, UTVs.
Bro, I gotta get insurance on my boat and my UTVs.
I know. See? If only
you knew
someone.
I used to have this insurance guy. Let's backtrack here.
I might know somebody I can refer you to.
And it didn't pan out well.
Got it.
Not on account of me.
No, not on
account of you either, though.
No.
That was a weird thing.
Not disparaging anybody. We're just saying Matt Austin is your guy for insurance.
He's great.
Yeah. And Jarius, remind us, because you did a couple months ago, tell us what you do, man. You got a business.
Yeah, I fix cars for a living.
Yeah. You fix anything for a living.
Yeah, specifically, I'm in the automotive industry. I do a lot of performance and engine swaps and stuff like that. So a lot of domestic stuff, but a lot of Asian and European vehicles. We do tuning, stuff like that as well. So
yeah,
a lot of fun.
FD Performance.
FD Performance.
So we'll put links
in my really old degraded shirt.
My Goosehead t-shirt. I like
that though.
Unreal.
But literally the car I'm driving, you fixed for me real nice. So
yeah, I did. Actually.
You do know a thing or two and about turning a wrench.
We fixed
you
it.
Yeah.
And sold it to you.
Yeah.
Awesome. And before the show, I was reminded you have your own band. Come on, tell us about your band.
So I'm in a band. Yeah. We started, it was just a couple guys, probably 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Yeah. We just started making music together and really enjoyed it. And then 2 years ago, we took the plunge and I produced, recorded our entire album in my basement of my house. It turned out awesome. We were fortunate enough to have some really good people help us with it. Mm-hmm. Nick Rad here in Milwaukee, he mixed the whole album for us, which is super cool. Callum McGregor from Memphis Mayfire did our first single of the album. He mixed and mastered that for us. And we had a feature with Garrett Rapp from The Color Morale on it. So that was super cool. Yeah. Both those guys are super awesome, or in super awesome bands. And I've been big fans of them for as long as I can remember. So it's super cool to work with them. And then Nick is super awesome. He's here in Milwaukee and he does a ton of mixing and stuff like that, him and Steve. So
yeah.
Well, shout out Nick and Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
It is a great album, by the way.
Where can people find your music? What's
Spotify?
Your band's
name? Oh, This Heart I Surrender. Yeah, my band's it's called This Heart I Surrender. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music.
Dude, that's awesome. I knew that, but I had not yet looked up your music and supported you guys. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to put a link in the show notes.
I think we listened to that whole album last year when we were turkey hunting.
Yeah, dude.
You and Joel. That's a good sound.
Thanks.
I was like, this kid is real. I thought it was just, he knows a thing or two about.
Yeah, you know, it was
a
lot of work.
About playing drums too, apparently.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was super fun. And after that, I had a newborn baby at the time, and then we had another baby, so we all kind of Jordan, our vocalist, he got married, Kyle moved to Nashville, our guitarist, so it was like a lot of big life changes in the last 2 years. So we're excited to start making some more music together. We got quite a few songs written right now, and we're gonna hopefully start getting back at it and making some new music. So.
Let's go. This Heart I Surrender.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome, thank you. And speaking of turkey hunting, we're going to talk a little bit about hunting on this show. I want to hear let's start the conversation with this. Craziest or funniest hunting stories. Like, what are your go-to memories?
Legal or illegal?
Either. Open it up, man. I think that would be a good hook.
Don't do that.
Okay, fine.
So Matt and I are not only just on this podcast together, but we are good friends. Yeah. We just finished a 12-week was it? 12-week archery league, winter archery league.
Yep.
It was super awesome. So every Tuesday we got to shoot archery together.
Where at?
Buck Rub.
Buck Rub, yeah, yeah. Nice.
Super fun, super awesome league. We got to shoot with Joel and Jim. We were a four-man team. Joel and Jim, super awesome guys.
Great dudes, a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got to meet and hang out with. They were super awesome. But so we just finished that, and now turkey season is upon us. So we're super stoked for that.
Yep.
We did last year. Was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year we did opening weekend up at my family's land and up in Adams. That was fun. Me, Matt, and his buddy Joel. And we had a blast. It's always super rainy and super crappy.
Because it's like the third week of April. So
yeah.
Turkey hunting weather.
I mean, it's your Midwest weather.
I've never done turkey hunting, but like, I know a lot of family and friends who do.
It can be 70 and sunny one day, 40 and rainy the next, 25 and snowy. I mean, I've seen it all that first time period for sure.
Last year was super fun. So these guys like to go out in the woods and sit for hours and call in turkeys and stuff.
Or chase
like
them.
These guys, yeah. you mean this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
Or chase them.
I don't do that. I'm a reaper. So what I do is we use a Tom decoy.
Mm-hmm.
We drive around until we find the turkeys. So we'll see them out strutting in a field. Let's say we're going south on a road and we look to our left, so we're looking east, and we see a bunch of turkeys, and they're heading east. We'll drive around all the way around to the west side of the property, if it's a public property or if it's private that we have access to hunt. We'll drive around, we'll park our vehicles, we'll get out, and we'll start running. As soon as we get within 500 to 1,000 yards, we drop down on our hands and knees and our bellies, and we start crawling at these turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which does work in an open field for sure.
Yeah, or if you're in the woods, they're in an open field, you're in the woods, and you just start, you crest the edge of the woods.
They see
that Tom strutting in front of you. You know, you got like, we'll usually do like two-man groups. So I'll be like in front holding the reaper, and we'll be climbing, and there'll be a guy behind me laying down, and we'll count down, and they'll see us, and they'll come running at you because they want to fight you. Because you're in their territory. They're out strutting their stuff, you know, big bad Tom, and you come in with this decoy. So they come running at you, and then you count to three, and guy behind you shoots, and you duck, and he sits up, and he shoots. And
give him the beans.
Yeah. As many times that hopefully you don't miss. And it's awesome. Now we both hunt with 410s, so it's a super light shotgun.
Right.
But now with
mine's only a single shot, so I have one chance to screw it up.
So
thankfully, I haven't.
He's good at that.
With that method, how much you harvest then?
We get a turkey every time.
Yeah.
Oh, just about every time, unless you're being stupid and you get outside of the decoy, then they see you and they run.
Okay.
But 9 out of 10 times, they come at you. You get about halfway there, they see you, they get pissed, and they come charging you.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It is so much fun because it's not like, you know, this is, you're spending a half hour to an hour hunting, but you're driving around looking for them and thinking of the most tactful way you can get to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you're just sitting in the woods hoping you see a turkey, or you know the turkey are roosting here, you know, at night and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're not getting up at the crack of dawn and have to get in there early before the turkeys come down from roosting, and hopefully they don't spot you, you know, and hopefully the hens and stuff like that don't come down first and then the toms, you know. So it's kind of more of a, I thoroughly enjoy it more because you get to just drive around, you get off work at 5 o'clock, you got 2 hours until sunset, so you jump in the truck, you get everybody grabs their gear, and you start driving around all the land, and you find them, and then you go, and it's just boom, 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 boom. So it's so much fun.
But you hunt a different way for turkey?
Yeah.
What's your method?
Pretty much the opposite of that. Getting up early, in the woods all day. We chase the birds.
Super unsuccessful.
Yeah. I think this year will be, 1998 was our first year going up, me, Joel, and his brother, and we've never missed a year. I might have missed like one or two years in there, but the other guys have gone up. So that group of core dudes, I mean, what is that now? 27 years or so.
You're aging yourself.
I know. I mean, we were kids literally when in our maybe 19, 20, and how we are mid 40s still chasing birds. But
Jerry's is not in his mid 40s.
Just a baby.
Look at him. Look at him.
Get in my belly.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, we've been successful for sure.
Yeah.
called in a lot of birds over the years. I've killed maybe 7 or 8 myself. I've been part of calling in and seeing my other hunting buddies take them out. And that's at my age now, I almost take more joy in that, like being the guy that's in the back calling in the birds, letting someone new kind of drop the hammer on them. I take a lot of joy in that, but I still get my fair share a year. Yeah, but because we go to Nacita every year, that's Adams.
Adams, yeah.
So we stayed in his trailer last year for the first time, and it's about a 40-minute ride to Nacita, Metal Valley area, halfway between. It's right near Tomah, for those that are familiar with Tomah.
Yeah,
you're familiar.
Quite familiar
with
Tomah.
Yeah, Highway 21 there. Yeah, so that whole patch of woods from Nacita to Tomah, we hunt all that way pretty much.
And that's awesome.
Those birds are way different than these tame creatures we have down here, for sure.
Yeah.
How so?
I mean, they're so weary. I mean, if you blink, you're busted.
Wow.
But these birds down here, I mean, they'll walk up to your... How many times we drive around, greater lake country, for lack of a better term, and we see toms pecking at doors.
I see them in my yard all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have them, and you guys have been to my house, but I finally saw my first one last year, like two of them cruising the little
My dogs
wooded.
Have chased them in the backyard, and they go up and roost.
They're
and,
so used to humans down here, and...
it's great.
You can
makes
make
so
a lot
much
of,
fun.
It does, yeah. For what
dude,
you
it
do,
does,
it
gets
it's so
close.
I mean, you feel
it's
so...
It's not fish in a barrel exactly, but it's not far from it.
Yeah, but it's like... when you know you can be like, you know, you're going to have success, your odds of being successful are high. So, we get 5-6 people that have never turkey hunted a year that we go and do this. And like, we all get our birds right away. Like, we don't even care about shooting birds. I know we can go shoot a bird tomorrow if I wanted to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's so many out there, and it's a great sport to get people into bird hunting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like a turkey farm.
Turkey hunting is personal.
Yeah.
And you, like, whether you're reaping them like you guys do, or I use mouth calls just to talk to them. And because I'm good enough, I've been doing this so long, like I can outcall a hen.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that Tom always leaves the hen, though. I mean, he's got his ladies. He's sure. We call it henned up.
Yeah.
And sometimes he doesn't move. But the amount of times that call in a bird and he's strutting and there's another hen there and we keep doing our work and our magic and... then we give them their proverbial dirt nap.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and what's cool about
turkeys? They taste so good.
Oh, the wild turkey's so,
so
good,
just so good.
Yeah, and they talk back so much. They're so vocal, and so it's cool when you can, like Matt was saying, being as experienced as he is, you can get them to interact with you,
for
and
sure.
You can get them to call back, and then you guys are having a conversation,
cutting and yelping to a
hen.
Because toms don't. All they do is gobble. They don't.
Yep.
You know. They don't. They don't. Well, they make some kind of clucks,
clucking,
but the sounds you hear, those turkey sounds, the yelp, clucks, purrs, hen turkey. They when they're content, they purr like a cat. They sound like that kind of.
Yeah.
It's hearing that in the woods is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And Tom's do a thing called drumming when they're really excited. They fan out and they, and you can hear it if it's quiet enough. It's got to be really, but you can, it's
you can
really
hear
cool
chest,
to hear.
Yeah, vibrating. It's super cool.
Yeah. Well, so what is it about getting outside? Because this is a podcast wanting to empower men.
Yeah.
What is it about getting outside that speaks to our soul? I mean, even guys who aren't in hunting, they got to admit, like they got to, you take a guy like that outdoors to the mountains, to the ocean, you know, it's something grand and majestic. You didn't go on a hike in the woods. Even if hunting's not your thing, there's still something like guys are going to admit like, yeah, that speaks to me. Like you ever sleep under the stars? Like every guy has this within him. What do you think that is? Where does it come from?
Well, I mean, obviously where it comes from, you know, obviously we were made. As the creator that created all of this earth created us, you know?
Gave us dominion over
everything. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so just something about being one with nature is being, you know, peaceful where you shut out the world, you shut out the busyness, the stress of life, our phones and technology and how that absorbs so much of our attention. Yeah. And so when you are, you know, you're in the woods, all of those distractions, all of those go away, and you have nothing but your thoughts, you know? And you can either choose to find peace in that, which I think it's a lot easier for us men to do than women, that you just get out there and you find a peace that is beyond understanding, one might say, you know, that you didn't know existed. And then not only that, but then you are interacting with the nature. You're able to see the beauty of the sunset, the sunrise, the birds chirping, and how quiet the wind can get. And then all of creation.
Or how amazing
comes
it is
life.
When $2 come together and just start crashing.
They
and
just start fighting.
They're done and they're panting. And I've been outside in a tree stand seeing that, and their breath is you can
the cold morning.
Just
you've seen bucks going at it.
Oh yeah, wow. And it's noisier than you would ever believe. If there's no wind, mind you, wind screws up everything sometimes, but that's probably some of the coolest things I've seen is bucks going at it. And then when they stop and they're panting and you can see their breath coming out and lapping up the water. I mean, those Bible verses come to my head as a deer pants for water. I've literally seen a deer pant for water. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
You know, be still and know that I am God. That's where I go to see it.
Yep.
You know, I can see that at home sometime with Alex and the boys for sure.
Yeah.
I totally see it there, but it's just a different setting when you're, you know,
absolutely.
Outside, when you're duck hunting with your group of guys or turkey hunting like we do, but sometimes when you're by yourself up 20 feet up in the stand and, there's the wind is still, it's calm. You hear those birds. Sometimes the silence is deafening. I love it.
Yeah.
And it does. It speaks to your soul. And sometimes it's hard to explain that to those folks that you just mentioned. And it's
that
just
haven't experienced it. Yeah.
Hopefully they have something that speaks to their soul likewise that I haven't done. And that's the only way you can explain it.
Yeah. You got to do it. How did you guys get into hunting? You guys grew up hunting?
No.
You didn't.
No.
You
did.
I did not.
Okay, you first.
Yeah, I like you got a pretty
tell me.
Cool
how'd you get into it then?
Well, my sister actually started hunting before I did, my older sister. And I grew up obviously in a small town, and my parents are not country folk, so to speak. They are way more outdoorsy than they used to be. But so they weren't country folk, they weren't into hunting, nothing like that. And my sister and I, going through high school essentially, met people, started hanging out with people, started working on farms and doing all the things, and it led, one thing led to another into hunting, and then we just started doing it and figuring it out ourselves, you know. And
in high school.
Yeah.
As
high school, and then you know, we just started like, okay, anybody can tell you how to hunt. Anybody can give you their opinion. I mean, Matt knows when you go to a bow shop, everybody's, well, this brand's better than that brand, or, oh, you shoot a Hoyt, you should shoot a Matthews, or, oh, you shoot a Matthews, you should shoot PSE. You know, everybody's got
Elite
their
archery
opinion.
For the win, by the way.
Yeah, right. Coming from the guy who was in last place in our archery league.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a rough year for me.
Not your best season.
If it's one shot, one kill, dead nuts. But man, I only blew up like 3 arrows, I think.
It was getting pretty bad. Where, you know, it was like, oh, Matt lost another arrow. Mm-hmm. Oh, Matt missed that target. Matt, you hit the wrong target. We'll give you the points for that one. You know, it was awesome though. It was just a fun experience. But anyways,
To be fair, I was going through a lot with sickness and that other thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a rough last few months, that's for sure. But you know, but going out and doing it, it's just different. So we just did it. We figured it out. We met friends, met family.
Made mistakes and learned along the way.
Oh yeah, missed a lot of deer.
Yeah.
You know, last year I didn't shoot a buck last year. I could have. It was super cool. I saw a ton. I got some great footage of bucks
those
chasing
you
does.
Were sending me last, oh man,
yeah,
all
I
last
got some
fall
great camera,
mm-hmm.
My trail cams. I got some great photos on there. I didn't see one. I didn't get one close enough to shoot, but I got to see a lot of cool interactions of how the deer were moving. Just during the rut, watching these bucks chase around all these doe and them just be so skittish, but they're so dumb. They're just
especially during
the rut. Just,
it's a male looking for some action. I mean. That's
right.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah. The story of our life.
Yeah.
But you grew up hunting.
I did.
And you, someone mentored you and taught you? What was that like?
So I was probably 8 years old when I first shot a gun. It was a pistol. It was my dad's. It was a Ruger. It was a .22 pistol. I don't know if you've ever seen that one of mine, but it's silver and the barrel's like super long. So, but you know, there's no kick to those things because it's a .22. So that was my foray into respecting firearms. You know, I learned at an early age how to clean it and treat it and everything. Unfortunately, it was probably, I think it was 4 years later, 5 years, my old man passed away. And but fortunately, I had a stepdad. We got along okay. Him and my mom, they divorced some years after that even. But, you know, he took me under his wing and taught me how to shoot a bow. The first bow I shot was a I don't know the brand, but it was a recurve. So you had to step into it and slide the string up. Remember those? And there was one pin
wrap
on
your leg
it.
Around
and,
it.
you know, 13, 14 years old. Yeah, that was how he did. You put your leg through.
Around.
But, you know, when you're 13 years old and gangly, as I was back then, I was a string bean, believe it or not. You know, pulling that 40 pounds, 45 pounds back was, you know, like this. But, I learned to control that because it was one pin. I learned to control that. And that was kind of my foray into it. And I stayed with it. When I graduated high school, he gave me a nice, it was a Darton archery, a really nice compound bow. Mm-hmm. And that's how I really cut my teeth, you know, honing in my bow skills, my archery skills, and killed some deer with that. Nothing big, spikers, does, that sort of thing. Then I just kind of upgraded from there, and I was fortunate that after I graduated high school, I met Joel. That, you know, I met him my senior year, even though our lockers were right next to each other for 3 years. We just didn't talk much. But my senior year, I came to school with a Bass Pro Shops catalog, and he saw that and he's like, "You're into this?" And that's kind of how him and I bonded and kicked it off and found out he likes to hunt and fish. I know. It's so organic. And
beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And after high school, I joined the Carpenter Union, and in my class that I met, apprentice school, I met a couple of dudes that were into hunting and everything. And my one buddy, Steve, he was a big duck hunter with him and his family. Mm-hmm. And that's what started my passion for duck hunting. I always say, you know, ducks are my passion, but deer are my obsession. Sometimes it flip-flops, but I love...
Depends on the season.
Yeah, I suppose. But like last year, I killed that big buck early on, so I had a lot of season left to get some more ducks, but I'm very passionate about duck hunting, and because mm-hmm. That's hard work, man. Duck hunting is hard work.
Why is duck hunting hard?
There's a lot that goes along with it, you know, bow hunting, it's not easy by any means, but it's not hard. You know, you set up your tree stand, you go to your spot, you climb your tree, you sit in your ground blind, and you're there. Mm-hmm. Duck hunting, you know, you have a boat, a kayak, you get there, you fill it up, you paddle out, you set the decoys. There's a lot more work that goes into it. So it's harder in the sense that, you know, there's a lot more work that goes into it, but the rewards can be, you know, awesome.
It's awesome to duck hunt with multiple people.
Yep, mm-hmm. I agree.
Versus deer hunting, you don't want to do multiple people.
Right.
You know, but duck hunting, the more people, the better. Like goose hunting, when we go goose hunt and shoot cornfields and stuff, like, man, you get 10, 12 guys out there where you know there's going to be ducks or where there's going to be geese.
Plus it's early season, it's 5 geese a day. So yeah. you can just stack up.
You got 10 guys, man. That's 50 geese you can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, and like you see a flock coming in and you get a couple guys that are super talented at calling. You just lay there. You don't have to do nothing. You lay there with your gun, ready to go. And it's, you let the guys do their thing. As soon as them geese start landing and setting up, you just go, all hell breaks loose. You got 5-10 guys sitting up and shooting all at once, and it's just, it's crazy.
It's a mayhem. Folly.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, what how do they taste? I've never had goose.
I've
never had goose.
Goose is great. We just make it into jerky.
Duck, you can mess that up too if you overcook it or whatever. For me, when I get a goose, I like to kind of butcher the whole thing and get the whole body and, you know, feather it, defeather it, I should say, and kind of stuff it with, I like to put stuffing in it and a good pull of sausage. So when that explodes from the heat, it gets all in there and everything. Get one of those bacon mat wraps, like the square thing. And that's hard to do. I'm not always the best at that, but just lay a bunch of bacon over it. And
so I hear just add sausage or bacon to anything and you're like, it's going to taste great. Awesome. All right. Well, what advice would you give to guys who are like, all right, sounds cool, but maybe I've never done it, or maybe I'm a novice.
Like, get out there.
Well, you kind of shared through your story. Like, are there places guys can go to get connected?
This day and age, for sure. I mean, you're younger than me by quite a bit, but you're still old enough that when you started out, those resources weren't there.
We didn't have archery 12-week archery leagues in the wintertime. Yeah.
Like a teenager archery. Now in high school, they just, I think I must be on numerous, I don't know, I lost track of the amount of Facebook groups I'm on that, like, I use Facebook for, like, just to follow Packers, Brewers, and Bucks and my hunting stuff. That's it. You know, obviously, it's some of you all.
You join groups, hunting groups, or whatever, groups and shooting groups.
Every day there's people giving out really good advice. Some of it is ignorant, you know, but that's a great resource, I think. But certainly finding a mentor is the, like you did, find someone that will hold your hand and show you the ropes, so to speak, how to how to shoot properly. I mean, good form speaks volumes, how to handle a firearm, that sort of stuff, depending on what you're getting into.
But there's so many, like, I mean, there's a place by us called Isaac Walton, and like they do meat shoots all the time where you can go shoot trap, you know, for meat raffles and stuff like that. That's like awesome. there's so many different things out there now, and gun clubs and stuff like that, that just get out there, get on Facebook, find groups, YouTube. I mean, there's so many good people out there and great companies, resource. You know. Yeah, there's just so many resources that we didn't have as kids, you right. know, that is out there now, and is just find a group of guys.
Hey guys, I want to take a minute and give a huge shout out. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters out there. Without you guys, this show's not even possible, and it allows us to do some cool swag stuff like this mug right here. We're coming up with hats, t-shirts, things like that. But more importantly, we're going to be releasing some exclusive content that's only for our Patreon supporters. You're not going to want to miss that. So if this show has been any encouragement to you whatsoever, you guys got to get on patreon.com/forgingthepath. As little as 10 bucks a month, every dollar helps. Go there today and check it out. If you or anyone you know is thinking about buying a home or refinancing the home that you're already in, you got to reach out to Michael Creed and his team today. I've been in real estate for over 10 years now, and I can tell you there's no one better when it comes to the lending side of things than Michael Creed and his team. They take time to get to know every client. They treat every transaction like it's the biggest one of their lives. They give them all the options, educate them every step of the way, and they guide everyone to a really successful closing. We love working with Michael Creed and his team. So, once again, if you're thinking about buying a house or refinancing, you need a great lender, talk to Michael Creed and his team today. You can text them at 262-696-9048. Tell them that Adam from Forging the Path sent you. They'll take great care of you. We all know that real estate is the single best investment. It outperforms almost every other option in the long term. And my wife and I, we've been in real estate for over a decade, and we love helping people sell and buy homes. When it comes to the selling side of the equation, our goal is to help you sell your home for the most amount of money with the least amount of stress. And when it comes to buying, we want to help you find that dream home that has everything you need it to have without overpaying. And our goal is to make the whole process, whether selling or buying, really smooth and a great experience for everyone. So if you or someone you know are thinking about buying or selling a home in the near future, reach out to Zastro Family Real Estate. You can look us up online, or you can call or text me directly, 262-725-2855. And by the way, we're powered by a great company, Realty Executives Integrity. If you're thinking about getting in real estate, or maybe you're already in real estate and you want to take your business to the next level, let me know, because Realty Executives is the best of the best.
Yeah, my middle daughter is getting into hunting. Yeah. And I never grew up hunting, whatever. Claire's family does. I'm learning a little bit from them. But as Cadence is getting into it, like, the guys at Buck Rub have been fantastic.
So good.
Like, bows, crossbows, and like, helping you sight in everything and giving advice. And then obviously, if you know somebody, family, friend, coworker, like,
yeah,
just ask them, hey, can you teach? And so my in-laws are like largely responsible for teaching Cadence a lot of like this introduction to hunting. So yeah, but then those
online
resources.
Did she get a deer a year or two ago, I thought?
She's got a couple.
I thought
she didn't get any last year.
Okay, I thought I remember seeing you post a picture of a...
Didn't get, but the 2 years before that.
Okay.
Both times, that's with awesome. The help of grandpa.
Of course, yes.
And her uncles.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's
that's how it
awesome.
Should be, man. That's
it's awesome.
Hopefully she's, you know, that's a love affair the rest of her life.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I hope so. She loves it. And she seems really happy with the crossbow. I don't know if she'll get into gun. She totally can. I mean,
right.
I take, we should talk a little bit too, just about firearms, even if you're not into hunting. Because, you know, I do take the kids to the shooting range. And just 22, mostly, now. I think my older daughters have tried the 9, just to feel the recoil. And to respect it a little bit, but well, you guys are way more attuned to firearms. So, like, what is that like? How, as a man, as a father, as a husband, provide, preside, protect? Like, these are biblical mandates.
We're called to, for sure.
Firearms are a tool, right? I'm not saying you have to have a firearm in order to be a good man. You don't. Don't misunderstand me. But they can be a very useful tool, and we shouldn't, as men, be afraid of them. So what would you guys say about specifically about firearms? as home defense, self-defense, and even recreation?
I think they're an important part of not only us as men and as protectors and providers. They're not only an important part of our lives, but I think constitutionally they're super important as how our country runs in the aspect of being able to defend it and, you know, stand up against, you know, everybody and everything that could potentially take that away and our freedoms and our rights, you know.
Terrorism, domestic, it's controversial to talk about, you know, guns.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. Yeah,
I remember the first time I open carried. This was probably
you wouldn't do that
7 years ago.
Just wanted to see.
Because I was at a store, and I was at Sierra Trading Post, and this
which one? Because depending on the city, you could get a Delafield. Wow,
and I had a. I had a lady come up to me and she's like, I just want to say that's so awesome that you open carry with your children and your wife. I'm like, thanks. I appreciate that. So that was kind of like a really cool thing for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what were you carrying that day?
An M&P Shield 9mm.
Smith & Wesson kind of holster?
I don't remember what kind of holster.
Did it lock over? Like,
it was an outside carry. It was or outside waistband. It has a trigger lock on it. So when you push it in, it locks it in based on the trigger. And then you have to push a button on the outside and then it slides up.
I've seen too many videos of guys who don't have the situational awareness, whether open or concealed carry.
Yeah.
And they're in a checkout line and somebody behind them tries to do something stupid.
Right.
Because they're profiling or they're open carrying and they're just, they don't have the cognitive, like, dude,
well, that's
90%. That's a responsibility.
Like, yeah. Whether you open carry or not. Whether you carry a gun or not. Just having your situational awareness as a husband, as a father, as a protector, you know, like even me, when I don't have my wife or my kids with me, I'm still like always looking around and counting people,
head
counting
cars.
Yeah, always. And it's not a paranoid thing. It's just a
day and age thing.
Yeah, I just do it because it's force of habit.
Yep.
It's force of, you know, if something were to happen, I want to make sure that I'm in a position that I can not only protect myself, but protect those around me.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what an hour away holds, you know, but always being prepared, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's in fact quite the opposite. I believe it's biblically, there's precedent for it throughout Genesis to Revelation. If you're a man, if you're a husband, if you're a father, being ready to protect, to defend, to serve the people around you that are under your care, to act like a good shepherd, that is super important. So like Claire understands, if we're out in a place like and we're sitting down, my back is to the wall. I want the full view of the room.
For sure.
And she just understands.
I worked in a jail for 4 years and before I did insurance, and that still is like, Alex knows, when I met her, she a couple months, I'd be like, "What? Why do you always have to sit this way?" And I explained to her,
you
like,
explained.
This is how I was trained, and I, you know, that's just how it has to be.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah, and if I am carrying, I don't carry most days I don't actually. Yeah. Very rarely do I. But if I do and Claire's with me, she knows she's on my left.
Mm-hmm.
I usually appendix carry slightly to the right. And she'd understand. She's like, oh, you're carrying today. Like, I'll walk on this side. Other days it doesn't matter. But and just to have a woman who understands and respects and appreciates that is such a gift from God. Because like you guys said, in today's society, a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah.
And I think couple generations ago they understood better, but we need to do a good job as men of like,
yeah, and it's not a it's not a big dick swinging competition, it's not a arrogance thing, it's not a, oh, look at me, I'm a man, I got a gun. No, it's not that at all. It's totally out of respect and love for those around us.
It's a sacrificial
thing, it's not anything. I want, my duty as a husband is to love my wife, you know, and in doing so laying my life down for her.
Right.
As we are called as Christians, as we are called as brothers, is to lay our lives down for each other, okay? So it is my civic duty before God and for my wife and my family and those around me to always be prepared, always be ready to sacrifice myself in protecting of them, you know? And so it's not about like, oh, you're a Republican, you need a gun. you know, or anything like that. It's just, no, I just want to protect me. I don't care who you are. I'll protect you too.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the way, I'm not a Republican. Thing, right. I'm an independent conservative.
So. Right.
And the gun thing crosses both sides of the aisles. I have left-leaning friends that are as big into guns as I am.
And yes.
That's the beauty of it. But like you alluded to, you can still protect your family and be that man without owning a firearm. Like I don't begrudge anybody that doesn't own a firearm. What obviously ruffles our feathers is when they trash those of us that do and choose to defend our family way, you know.
And I will always encourage, you know, if you don't own a firearm, that's great. You can go to any shooting range at this point and you can rent one. You could try it out. You could start small. They have classes you can take. They have everything that you can take and do.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorite things to do the years of and right after COVID, 20, 21, 22, is I would take people from our company, from our workplace, to the to Fletcher's.
Fletcher's.
We just go there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would ask me, like, hey, I'm not into guns, but I want to, like, get over my fear. And we would have a lot of people who were kind of like scared of or even opposed to the idea of guns walked away from an hour of shooting. Like, that was awesome.
A whole new respect for a firearm.
That was so fun. You made me feel safe. The staff here is wonderful. Things are educational. I could come back here. I could do this a couple times a year and have a blast.
Yeah.
Totally changed their paradigm of like guns, scary, bad, into something like, oh no, this is, if you treat it with respect, this is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah,
very
cool.
Yeah, do you guys conceal carry or carry on a somewhat regular basis?
I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Unlike you, I'm almost every day.
How often do you guys go to the range to keep to maintain your skills?
Not as much as I want to.
Yeah, the hardest part at this point is just time to go, finding time to go.
But I do find that when I do go, I'm still pretty, the muscle memory comes back relatively quickly.
You don't have to go all like every week.
No,
once you get it down,
once or twice a quarter or so.
I think the most important thing is not only being a good shot. I mean, obviously that takes practice to become a good shot.
Yep.
But being comfortable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And creating good habits, holding a firearm, and bringing a firearm up, and carrying a firearm, being comfortable. Because if you're scared of it, you're going to shoot like crap. It's just inevitable.
Well, in the adage, they say, like, when you do concealed carry classes or whatever, if you draw, you better be ready to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Because if you do that and get nervous and you maim somebody, mm-hmm. I mean, from someone in insurance, that's a liability issue you'll deal with for a long time.
Have you ever had to draw your weapon?
No.
Have you?
No.
I have once.
No.
It was weird.
I'm so glad I never had to tell us about it.
It was scary.
Like a sassy possum
No, I was working for this. I was working at a shop.
Well, you have weird animals out in the country. We never see possums.
So it wasn't a rodent.
Yeah. No, it was a human. Yeah. This guy.
It was
this
a customer, human. Oh.
This customer. Serious? Yeah, at the shop I worked at. This customer. We were working on his vehicle. He came with his dad to look at this vehicle. And we're like, hey, this, and this, and this is wrong with it. Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'll go tell my son, blah, blah, blah. And the kid just flips out, like goes psychotic on him. Wow. And his dad starts hitting his dad. Kid's like 18 or 19 or something. They get in the car.
So he's not really a kid.
No, I mean, no, he's a young man.
Yeah.
That has
legally
emotional problems. Yeah. And they drive away, and they come back. And he's hanging out the window of this car. I'm going to shoot up this place and burn it all to the ground, blah, 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 all of these things. And then they keep driving by, and they his kid left or something or another, came back, and he started yelling these things at one of the ladies that work at our shop.
Mm-hmm.
She came in, told us what happened. We shut all the doors, locked all the doors, and just were like, all right, we're just going to wait it out for a few minutes, see what happens, because it looked like they had left. Well, he comes back up. He's like live on Instagram or something like that.
Jeez.
Comes up and is swearing, spitting on our doors and all this. and he's like kicking the doors and shuts his phone off or something. And my boss had his phone out and was recording all this. And we have cameras, obviously.
And I would feel threatened at that point.
He starts screaming, and then he kicked the glass door, and he's like, I'm going to shoot up this whole place, and he reaches his hand behind his back. And me and my boss at the time, we were standing probably 6 feet from the door.
Jeez.
Just watching him. He does that, and that's when I pulled my firearm. And his dad's like, please don't, please don't, please don't.
Did he get his
phone?
His
dad walks up to the door, at that point, we had already called 911. And his dad walks up to the door and like tries to grab him and is like yelling at him, telling him to stop and all these things. And I'm like, you guys need to leave, you know, back away. And he's profanities at us, calling us names and all this stuff. And is and just, yeah, it was pretty scary. Like,
he's lucky for his arm didn't twitch there. That would have been
so ugly. He ended up getting arrested. Wow. And all this stuff.
What was flowing through your veins in that moment?
I'm like, all right, Lord, protect me.
A prayer.
You know, I was just like, I don't want to shoot somebody. I don't, you know, I just protect me. I didn't know what, if I shot somebody, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm sorry to cut you off, but like, you said it, I hope and pray to God I never have to pull on somebody, but I'll defend my wife and boys' lives with ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
That's love. Yeah. That's love, man. Like, that's why we do what we do. It's not out of any desire to do anyone harm.
Not the picture that's painted against us, though, because we do want a concealed carry. Remember the debate in Wisconsin? Oh, Wisconsin's going to be the wild, wild west, when we just caught up to everybody like 10 or whatever years ago it was. All these other states that have had it and no issues with, you know.
The concealed carry?
Yeah.
Look at all the states that it is super, super hard to get a concealed carry permit.
Yep.
And look at the amount
New York, crime. California, Illinois.
Chicago, Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right.
To the point where you drive through one of those states and your gun's not concealed, you're toast, you're a felon.
Yeah, we should say anybody who is considering concealed carry or doing concealed carry, like know the each state's laws. If you're traveling out, know your own state, but also if you're doing some traveling, you gotta do your homework.
Even if you didn't hunt or see.
We are not attorneys, so we're not.
That's a good point.
We're just sharing some of our passion here. You got to do the research. You got to do the work.
Even if you did hunter safety and that grandfathered you into doing
your CCW,
you can get your CCW. I would still advise do the course.
Taking
a
class. Yeah.
It's quick.
Take a class that actually has you shoot though too. I would recommend. There's some concealed carry classes that don't actually have you shoot, and whatever.
Which is wild.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I think it's so
like
much
getting
better.
Your driver's license. But you know what? Hey,
but you can do hunter safety online without
and
ever
also
shooting.
Yeah,
too.
But you have to at the end. You have to go do the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Because I helped Alex get hers.
Is it changed?
Is it because she's old?
Do the thing to the camera now.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It's like
you got to put Parks and Rec music in there in that little spot.
It's like, well, office, look at sorry, like for me, you don't have to have a boating license. You don't have to have a boating license. I do. I'm 31 and I still have to because I was born after 1989 or 1986.
Sorry, junior.
1989.
I missed the cutoff for hunter safety by like 10 years. I think it was 68 or 69.
Wow.
Well, a couple other things I want to hear you guys' thoughts on. Let's talk a little bit about, I think it's important too, just in terms of being a protector. And if you're into firearms especially, how about being up to date on like your first aid CPR stuff or taking a stop the bleed class at one of these firearms? Like there's a lot of resources there. And I would just say that's super valuable. It makes me like look at the situation a little bit more holistically. We could talk a little bit too about home defense. Okay, where's your go-to gun? Should you hear that thing that goes bump in the night? And do you have guns stationed safely in other places that you still can have quick access to? And then I heard a guy, I don't know if this was like Tim Kennedy or somebody, one of these like special forces guys on one of their podcasts say, you know what else you should have as a protector of your home? You should have a fire extinguisher by your bedside. The chances of your house catching flames at night are far greater than someone breaking in.
Very true.
That's
Mike,
I never
you
want to
be
that.
A protector, man of your family? Like, I would have a couple guns that you can access very easily at 3 a.m. at night, but also fire extinguisher You want to be able to like.
I never thought we have one, but
isn't
it's like,
that wild?
It's
I'm like, the, yeah. it's like, I have one by my appliances from my bed. In the basement. Yeah, so I have one in the basement, and yeah. I have one underneath the kitchen sink for the stove. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm gonna get a third one because I want it up underneath my bed. I'm like, that's brilliant. I never would have thought of that. And you hear these guys who've like actually lived through all sorts of really scary, dark scenarios give this mm-hmm. advice, and it's like, oh yeah, like it made me go, oh. Here I am taking all these shooting classes in 2020, and I've never taken a first aid or a stop the bleed class.
Or like, how to even
what the heck
operate a fire extinguisher. Sure, yeah, yes, you pull the pin and do it, but when's the last time you did that?
I usually just shoot them right. and blow them up because they're all expired.
I would do the Bart Simpson thing and sit in a chair and launch myself. Around. Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me what pieces of advice would you guys give to people like considering home defense, considering like getting into concealed carry, like wanting to be that protector of your family, of your house, things that maybe you don't think of right away, but like, hey, consider it from this angle. Here's some helpful tips.
I think if you're going to have a dedicated home defense pistol or shotgun, they make specialized ones for that with special attachments, a little flashlight, red dot sight, a snub nose shotgun with a, what's that called? The pricker part.
With what?
The pricker part? What is
the
that?
The attachment on the end. The I should
a
know
bayonet?
This. I
feel like
it's not a bayonet per se, but the barrel is it's segmented at the end for stabbing for up close. You've never seen those on the end of an assault shotgun?
No.
Oh yeah,
the it end sounds
of, like
kinda,
a flash hider. Like
no, the end of the barrel
like
is
spiky.
Yes.
Oh.
The end of the barrel is zigzag reverse spikes. So if the attacker gets
zigzag
too close,
zigzag reverse wham, spike. I think wow. zigzag and spikes are completely
well, just,
different.
Just you know,
shapes.
Like that shape and it's the segmented. So when you, I don't know, man.
I know what you're talking. I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying.
He's teasing you, man. He knows what you're talking.
That's not very nice.
Now look at the camera again. Yeah. That's mean. So, what? Okay.
Right,
would you recommend a shotgun or pistol home defense? Maybe someone who's like, all I got is a baseball bat by
can
the garage.
Can we backtrack
door.
Just a moment?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to touch base on what you were saying about taking classes, stuff like that. I think that it is important to have, you know, everybody should have a firearm. I think everybody should be comfortable, know how to operate one.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to defend, but a great defense is always a good offense is always a great defense.
Okay.
So on the flip side, if something does ever happen, like somebody gets hurt in your house, there is a fire, somebody stabs themselves, one of your kids grab a knife off the counter, drop it on their foot, anything like that, having a med kit at home is super important. Having
yes.
a tourniquet, knowing how to use that, but not only knowing how to defend yourself, but how to survive
mm-hmm.
and treat wounds and treat things that could happen. If somebody broke into your house and shot you, how are you going to stop the bleeding? How are you going to stop a child from being hurt or, you know, an injury? So not only being able to defend yourself, but being able to defend yourself offensively and take care of yourself
sure.
and use a med kit, you know how to stuff a wound,
that's
you know,
good.
All of those things. And even your children knowing where those things are. Knowing how to call 911 and get a hold of, you know, medical people
yeah.
if needed. I think yeah. that's super important as well.
That's really
it's just as important as having a firearm.
Agreed. It reminds me of, and I haven't done this in a while.
Sword and a shield.
Amen. Amen. We've run through as a family, so mm-hmm. the kids know, and we did this more when they were younger and other teenagers. Mm-hmm. I think they get it, but I should probably review. What's our fire escape plan and what's our intruder plan? In case, like, we need to, like, what do we do in those scary
yeah,
scenarios?
Especially in a house like yours,
nobody wants to talk about it, right?
And,
yeah.
yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
okay, fire, this is what we do. This is where we go. Everybody's got a phone now. Everybody can call 911, but
yeah.
this is our meeting place.
Yeah.
You know, and we know where that is as a family. Okay, something scary happens in the night. What do we do? All right, we kind of understand, like, everybody retreats to mom and dad's room. Mom's on the phone with 911. Dad's got the gun.
Yeah.
You kids are behind mom and dad. Like,
right.
we talk about that even since when they were in grade school.
Yeah, that's good.
Which some people think, well, that's scary. And like, I don't, you can make it scary or you can just make it like how you would talk to your kids about anything in life that's important.
Yeah.
This is education. This is guidance. Yeah. This will probably never happen. But on the off chance something like this does, my kids will be prepared. Yeah. What do you want to add to the conversation, Matt? I mean, how have you...
I'm terrible at that. I haven't done any of that with my kids. I got three of them. They're all dead.
Do each of us have three kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got three girls.
Three boys.
Two girls and a boy.
You mixed it up a little bit. Nice job.
Sorry.
We've talked about that. They're at an age now where we just have to start explaining things and talk, because unfortunately the boys have experienced some death in the family in the last year or so, and they understand what that is, and they use that word. I don't know how they come across it, but they talk about it and they know what that means. So we realize that
death?
Yeah, okay. Like in dead, like, you know, I'll fall and die. They just say weird stuff like that. Who knows where they hear it from? Yeah. Not from us, obviously. We don't talk about that, but I think they know what it means. But we realize they're smart enough now to understand some things that can cause that. And we have to take measures to prevent that. Like, you know, Hyatt knows that breathing in too much smoke could, you know, make you die. He gets that.
Yeah.
And I think they learned some of that at school and you know, some of the, you know, educational things they come across when we monitor their YouTube, like stop, drop, and roll. They learn that stuff. It's like, okay, we have to we have to do this now and explain to them where to go. Because how many times I've read countless stories over the years how, like, a 4 or 5 year old was the one that called 911 and got the cops to come, or the first responders to come to that house.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that doesn't just happen. That's preparedness and education.
And like you
and
said,
guidance.
Do you want to be, it's why I concealed carry. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So, you know, what you've been doing with your kids over the years, you'd rather be prepared for that and have to never use it than to know that if you ever need it, God forbid, it's there.
Yeah.
Amen. And for everybody hearing this, you know, don't, especially you fathers out there or husbands out there, don't feel like you're behind because you don't know any of this, or you haven't done any of this with your children. You don't own a firearm. You haven't taken any safety classes or anything like that. Like, start. Yeah. You're not behind.
Yeah.
You're not failing as a husband or a father. You're not failing as a friend. Just start somewhere. You know, go to your local gun shop and say, hey, how do I get plugged in? Or go to your fire department and say, hey, I want to take some classes. What classes can I take, you know, to learn how to do medical stuff and CPR and, you know, all of those classes?
Yeah.
Just go start.
Yeah. Because even that, like, CPR changed a lot from when we learned it, you know, on the compressions and the breaths and everything.
You have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all compressions now.
2 years, I think, to update.
Is that it?
And if you've seen The Office, it's just staying alive, staying alive.
I love the number of Office Easter eggs that are going to be in this episode.
Quite a few. Right? This is great. I messed it up before with Parks and Rec, but.
All right, Jim Halpert. Nice. That's a nice look.
So, but yeah,
am I the...
I think that's a good word, though.
Are you Jim and I'm Dwight?
No,
you're Michael. Cause I don't know.
I like Dwight. I like Dwight. He's
Dwight awesome. Is my favorite.
He's funnier than you, though. I mean, no offense. I'm a Jim. I can't even be as good as Jim. I'm stupid like Michael. To be honest,
you're Michael.
I'm more Michael. Yeah,
I could see that.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dwight's my favorite. That's a great show.
That's you didn't see
that. That is a good one.
Full circle.
It's one of the few that I've seen every episode of that, like Parks and Rec, Fresh Prince, those sort of things.
Those are all great shows.
Yeah, I saw some Fresh Prince reruns like a week ago on TV.
It's different,
it was
isn't it?
Amazing. It was amazing.
Times
it was
are so different.
It's one of the only shows.
We were
like teenagers then, you know?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's one of those old
Fresh
only...
Prince is a show starring Will Smith that aired in the mid 90s.
He doesn't know.
And he played the part of, he grew up in the.
West Philadelphia.
Really? Yeah, the credits, they tell you what had happened. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, got spun around, and his mama sent him to California, and he lived with Rich. His rich family.
Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil was a judge.
You'd
like it. It was funny.
Yeah.
He wasn't born yet, so.
Men in Black. That guy. There
that
it is.
That guy.
That's the guy.
So
I think he was in Aladdin, too.
Very underrated.
He was.
He was great.
He was the genie. You were making a great point before we got goofy, and how you were saying it's not too late.
Yeah, no, it's
guys
not too
shouldn't
late.
Feel discouraged about anything.
It doesn't make you any less of a man. It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't start thinking about any of this stuff until probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, it's just a lack of knowledge thing. Like, you don't know. You only see one side of the coin.
Yeah,
most people only see one side of the coin. you know, but once you see that other side, you're like, okay, this makes sense.
And there's a band of brothers out there happy to help you. Like you were saying, just start out. I mean, you can
call
online resources.
Yeah, hit us up.
You guys, your information will be on the podcast. I mean, the people at Fletcher Arms have been fantastic in helping me.
Yep.
Like, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I can ask them anything. They don't make me feel like, what are you, an idiot?
And that's a good point.
That's how hunting used to be.
And hunting.
That is the stigma.
And there's still some toxic people out there on those Facebook groups that'll drag you for asking a simple question, but that's one out of 10. The other 10, 15.
Forget them. Forget them.
I know when I started hunting, it was like, oh man, you shot an 8-pointer or a 6-pointer. Why'd you even shoot it? Let it grow. Let it grow. You got these guys that are out there, let them grow. Like, I'm here to harvest the meat.
Can't eat the horns.
Yeah, you can't. It's nothing but a, I don't know. It's nothing but a big dick competition in hunting. And
sure, someday we have our 40 or 60 acres. Of course you'll manage that. Yeah. But it's where we live, Waukesha, Dodge County, the deer population, we lead the state in car deer collisions. It's awful.
I shoot tons of doe, and it's awesome because I get to – like we have so parties good. All summer. Mm-hmm. Like I get to bless people at our church with it.
You are a blessing to a lot of us guys.
Our family and friends, we have parties all summer long, and that's what feeds everybody. We got brats, we got hot dogs, we got ground
by the way, if you want to offload some of that, let me know.
Yeah,
just
Kevin,
saying. I'm out of venison now.
We have to have a sausage party after the season ends.
I'm all about having a sausage fest.
I like a good sausage party.
Yeah.
Like I have a
not a sausage.
I have a commercial meat grinder, you know. Bring the pork and bring the venison.
I don't like doing pork. Oh. I like it with beef trimmings.
That's
beef
fine too.
Beef trimmings accent the and I think enhance the
guys,
the venison
let's not fight
flavor.
Over pork.
No, let's not. Because I make a very good
I think it's
Polish cheddar.
Against
worst.
A religion, isn't it?
Well, let me ask you this to kind of close the episode. Have you done any have you guys done any out of state hunting?
No.
No,
I want to go
that's
to
not the one.
Arkansas this year.
I was going
to
like
I really want to go to Arkansas do some timber hunting.
Moose.
I have a friend of mine, an older gentleman. He lives up in Appleton. He was born and raised in Montana.
Nice.
So I've been talking with him. He's not shooting any elk this year,
okay.
But he's got some tags and stuff, and so him and his friends and family that he grew up with there, they have tons of acres. So I'd love to go shoot an elk this year, which I've been practicing. I got my bow turned all the way up and I've been practicing my 75, 80 yard shots with it.
Wow. What's a draw on that? Is that 80?
70 pounds, I think.
76?
Like 70, that one, yours
something.
Goes up to...
Yeah.
Because it's got
mine goes up to 80.
It's got to be more than 60 you're going after elk.
Yeah. Mine's in the 70s, but it goes up to 80 or 82, something like that. But I'm short, so I can't get the full draw length on it. But
you're short and young,
like a T-Rex pulling.
But
that
we love you, man.
Yeah. Arms.
But you do you do big game, anything out of state, stuff like that?
No, I've never.
Okay.
I'm
a Wisconsin boy.
Yeah, I've never had a desire to. I suppose I wouldn't mind.
I want to go hella hog hunting.
That'd be cool.
I've done that in Iowa. I guess you know.
So yeah, that's just out of state.
Yeah, so that's just to control the population.
Yeah,
that's not. That I don't need. Does that taste good?
Oh yeah,
hog,
it does.
Very good.
Hog,
for sure. Super yummy.
All right.
It's pork, man. We like our pork.
Yeah. It's way better than going to the store and buying pork. It's just different. It's just so much different. Or going to your local farmer and buying pork.
Anything you hunt and harvest with your own two hands.
Well, anything that's born and bred in nature is better than on a farm.
Same with gardening. I mean, not that this is about gardening, but I mean, anybody.
I love gardening.
Yeah, me too.
My wife loves gardening. I mean,
if you or you have family or friends that backyard garden, you know stuff that comes from there is way better than.
I got to make the Mrs. Summer's beds because she wants to get into that.
See, that's it.
The first sourdough, now chickens and raised beds. It's happening.
Hunt, garden, chickens.
Sustain.
Let's go. We're all going to become homesteaders.
On that subject, my wife came home a couple weeks ago with this dress. Little House on the Prairie. And I'm like...
Like the bonnet and everything?
No, she didn't have the bonnet on. She could have. And I told her, nope.
That was a no-go?
That was, nope, I love you, but nope.
I'm like, where's he going with this? Is this...
I thought he might...
Because it starts with sourdough.
I thought he was going to say,
that's
awesome.
If your wives or girlfriends are starting with sourdough, next they're going to want chickens.
Encourage it. Sourdough is awesome.
Next they're going to want eggs. They're going to want chickens. They're going to want goats. They're going to want goat cheese from now on. No regular cheese. It's goat cheese now. And then you're going to be spending all your money on a homestead.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Maybe that's the direction we're headed in.
I think so.
We should. I should get somebody on. You know, Matt. Just... Matt Homesteads. You guys know Matt. Mm-hmm. Matt Warner.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We should buy just 100 acres and then build a little commune. We could start a cult. Yes.
Oh. That went south fast. Yeah, that was you were on track. And then
I know. I almost wore my cultish juice and everything today. Bad theology hurts people.
All right. Yes, it does. Amen. Thank you, guys. We got to drop it here, but we'll have you back on. There's so much more to talk about this stuff, and I appreciate you guys. Go check out their businesses in the show notes. Jarius, Matt, love you guys. Thanks so
you
much.
You too, buddy. Thanks,
bro.